I wish I could play the piano like that. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me when I get to heaven. It's not going to happen here. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me have your people for a while. I will try to return them all to you in one piece when this is all over. And I do ask you to pray. I got a message this morning that one of the men of the church said they were sent taking their... I got to push a button here. Green. Okay. We don't have these gadgets where I come from. And as far as the baptism business is concerned, we just take them down the river. If it's hot, it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's windy, they get full of dirt, and it's okay. They'll never forget it that way. I need you to pray for this man. He's been out of church, and they are taking him to the emergency room because it looks like he has COVID. Now, this morning, they didn't have services because they shut the country down. There are no services. The fine is 200,000 pesos if they find you in a church service. That's about $1,300 to $1,500, which is a large amount for a foreign country. So pray for our people. But the Lord is good. These things are supposed to happen. We need not cry about them. We need to rejoice because the Lord knows what we need, and he's going to take care of it all, sure enough. I have a message that, you know, I was thinking, I was talking to my wife, and I couldn't remember for sure if I had shared it with you. So if you're like I am, it won't make any difference. You forgot anyway. And so, but there are some things about this message that, would you believe, I've been a Christian almost 37 years. And these verses that I'm going to share with you, I learned as a child, like most people. And when Emily and Jason took us to Kalispell to see Luke, the kids were listening to a movie, and a young man was asked to speak, and he started with these verses, and they cut the microphones off. But all the people in unison were then repeating and quoting these verses. And I thought, well, that's great. That's what I'm going to talk about. And then Jason kind of stomped all over my message this morning. So, you know, I'll just be able to do something there to add to his. And so, well, let's pray. I need your prayers. I've been thinking about this message for months. It takes me a while, some of those things I think about, and then in the middle of the night I wake up and I change it a little, and it's important. I want to be a blessing to you. I want that God would bless in this service. I'm happy to be here. This feels like home. Thank you for your love and attention and your watch care of us and your prayers and the support that you provide. And it just feels really good to come into this church. There's a wonderful spirit. A lot of folks about my age, that's a blessing. We have some darker skin, some folks here. We've added a little color to you pale faces. That helps. And so I talk like this for a little bit because I need to get unwound, you know, and calm you down a little bit. And the other thing that happens to me is I'm still wrestling between Spanish and English, and that kind of confuses me, but I will loosen up here in a little bit. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this service. My Father, once again, as we approach your throne, help us to be mindful of who you are and how much we need you and how much you have done for us. We rejoice in a soul that was saved, a profession made, and the baptisms. What wonderful steps, what grace you have provided for some people here, for the church, Lord. We ask you to be glorified through this message. We ask you, Father, to accompany. We are to pray for the power of your Spirit. You have said where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be here. And so we trust in thee and your power, and ask that you be glorified and speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And again, verses that everyone memorizes. And I have to be honest that I didn't really understand the full meaning of these verses until not too long ago. And I've been saved for a long time. I've been preaching the word for more than 30 years. And I suppose that maybe some of you think the way I think and maybe didn't get it all. Matthew chapter 6. And again, these are verses that people recite and learn, and many people don't even realize that they're verses of Scripture. Let's go to verse 9, and we'll start of these verses. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amazing verses, and so much in it. I suppose you all remember that the disciples at one point sat with the Lord and they asked him, teach us to pray. Now, prayer has meaning. And so he gave them the meaning of what he was teaching them and how to apply each part of those verses to their life. And that's what made them the men that they are or were. So they're still alive, praise the Lord. And so let's start with the first part. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And again, he gives them outline. The interesting thing is if you jump up a few verses to verse 9, where it starts, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. It didn't say this, pray. After this manner, pray. Now, all my life, I prayed like that. I suppose that you can say that when someone prays the Lord's Prayer, if you will, that they're sincerely understanding and thinking of each part of it. But if not, it's just repetition. In fact, I wrote another verse in verse 7, just up a few. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That was me for many years of my life. Didn't even realize what I was saying. Now, I'm a missionary, been at it for over 30 years, and I'm supposed to bring messages that in these verses. And then jump over to the first part that I have underlined, actually the second. Our Father, remember that. We are to pray to the Father. It's a personal address to Him. And that's what true sons of God must do. Now, most people that pray that prayer are not sons of God. They're religious people. I was not a son of God for 33 years of my life. But I prayed that. I said, my Father. But you know, the amazing thing is we're going to make this fairly quick because there's some activities of a baptism. So I'm going to read some verses. And besides, this one you all should know. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. You are a son solely through receiving him as your Savior, but specifically understanding and applying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to your life. If not, you remember what the Lord told the Pharisees. He said, they couldn't understand his word, and he said to them, why do you not understand my word? And then he said, because you are of your father, the devil. And that's the problem that we have. Until you are saved, you are not a son of God. You are a son of the devil. And I truly lived for that father for a long time, and I'm thankful to be saved. Now, another point in this. We understand that in Romans it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, those verses are basically meaning the same thing. Saved and becoming a son of God is the same thing. And then, which art in heaven? This is an interesting verse. Jump to Psalms 11:4. And we're going to be in Psalms there for a little bit, just a verse or two. Leave a finger there in Psalms, because we'll probably, well, they're all here. Two verses. And that God created the heavens, the universe, everything that we see, and he is in heaven. Not only is he in heaven, he fills the whole universe. And if you think about that, that's an amazing thing, and we're going to understand something about that that perhaps you've never thought about. It took me a while to think about it, and I'm just really happy about what the Lord has in his word. Psalm 11:4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Jump to Psalms 19:1 through 3. This is an important passage of scripture. Talks about where he lives, where he sees everything from. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And then, you know what it says in Romans chapter 1, he manifests himself through the creation. Everything that we see tells us that he exists. Many people have asked me, and I suppose other preachers and people, is, you know, what about the people out there in the jungle that have never received the gospel message? Well, that verse says that as they're walking around looking at this amazing creation, they have to at some point think, who made this? There has to be a supreme power. And these verses, if you read the rest of them, it says that we are without excuse. But there's other reasons that are amazing in all of this. Now, in 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul instructs this young man in something that we need to clearly understand, and I don't know that we do. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Means of communication that we have. Science requires, in order to declare something scientific, you have to be able to observe it and study it and prove it. For example, you ever thought about the theory of evolution? Why do they call it a theory? Because it's not a fact. It's that simple. Was anybody there when this so-called explosion took place? Nobody to observe it. However, at the same time, somebody's going to say, well, was that Christian there when the Lord created everything? No, we believe it by faith. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews, incidentally. And so there's an amazing thing about what science really is. Something is made, it has to be made by intelligence, not explosions. And so we need to understand that the heavens show us the power of God, and this is what we need to think about as we pray. We need to be in awe as we approach God's throne. Remember that Moses, when he approached that burning bush, the Lord said, take your shoes off, your sandals off. You are stepping on holy ground. We need to be careful as we step into the throne room of God in our prayer. Now the other one, this is an amazing thought. Hallowed be thy name. You remember them verses in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, says the book of Acts, but the name Christ Jesus. That name is very important. And in Philippians 2:10, it says, remember those verses. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everything that's in heaven and in earth, even the devil's going to bow to the Lord one of these days. And his name is hallowed. It's important. It's easy to hear people say, boy, God gave us a good day today. And everybody in the store, if anybody hears you, they're going to say, yep. But you say the Lord Jesus Christ has provided a wonderful day for us. They're all going to look at you like if you lost your marbles. That's just the way people react. And so it's amazing how things are. Now, jump over to Hebrews 11:3. These are the verses that I already kind of quoted. But let's understand something. I suspect maybe some of you do. I didn't ever think about this until not that long ago. It says, through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I always had it in my mind that the Lord made everything out of nothing. But that's not what this verse says. It says that everything was made from things that do not appear. Do we understand what that means? I sent a note to Luke, and he's such a smart aleck, he sent me a picture. And I'll tell you what that picture was. He got it right away. What makes up the air? Three parts. You know what neutrons, protons, and electrons make up? An atom. Yeah. Okay. And I wrote to Luke and I asked him what those things are, and he sent me a picture of adamant and weights. And it just so happens that his uncle had taken him to Los Alamos, New Mexico, and showed him a, I suppose, replica of the little boy, not the big boy. That's where the atom bomb came from. Now that, my friend, is power. Now we cannot see an atom or the parts that are made up, but that's what makes up the air, makes this up. Everything is made up, all the stars that are in heaven. Everything that exists is made up of something that's not seen. And what is not seen? God's almighty power. That's what's not seen. It's amazing what we can read in this. Jump over to Psalms. Incidentally, a three-part atom, also the Lord is three parts. You measure time by the past, present, and future. You measure distance by the length, the width, and the height. An apple is made up of the skin, the meat, and the seeds, an egg. You can make a list of so many things. We are body, soul, and spirit. It's amazing how the three in one is seen so much in our life. Psalms 139, 14 through 16. That, by the way, is the power of God. It says here, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The complete design or substance of every human being is programmed the instant of conception. Nothing's lacking. Science proves that the DNA is in place, and there is nothing missing for a child to become a mature person at around age 30. Every little detail. Now, I don't know how all of these folks that are against, that are for abortion can explain that. Let me put it to you this way. The instant of conception, that embryo, which may be the size of a pea or less, I don't know, has all the DNA in it that will develop into the person that you are with nutrition, protection, and time. There is no difference between that little being, scientifically speaking, than a young man here that, how old are you, son? Right there, I'm pointing right at you. 14. He'll become mature somewhere around 30, we hope. Okay, we'll be praying for that and your mother. The only difference is that nutrition, protection, and time. There is absolutely no scientific difference whatsoever. The instant a child is conceived, he is a complete human being in all the design that there is. The reason we're talking about this is what? again, hallowed be thy name. It's through his name that everything is done. So when we pray and we think about these things, it should help us to get into the prayer mode, if you will. And it's important. Let's see. Now let's look at another verse. There's another thing. You know, all of these ideas of men that think they want to be women and women they think they want to be men. Do you know that even the chromosomal makeup of a person, a man has X and Y. The sex of the child is determined by the man who passes the X or the Y, which will determine if it's a boy or a girl. That never changes. And I was raised out in the sticks. It really doesn't take a whole lot of intelligence to understand that. Usually dad was out earlier, and sometimes a little calf would be born. And of course, he immediately wanted to know if it was male or a female, if it was hamburger or milk. You know, that's important. Sometimes we would see it because dad didn't. Figure that out. You just kind of take a look at the plumbing and you'll be able to understand that real quick. See, it's either a male or a female. They're born that way and they die that way. Now, how in the world can this modern science, falsely so called, think that things are otherwise? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We need to be able to explain these things to some of these. I've had the opportunity to talk with doctors, and you know, what can they say? I was sitting there with a doctor, and I said, well, you know, there's proof of scientific proof of God's creation. Oh, she said, what's that? And I said, well, in the beginning, the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth. Look out this window. What do you see? Heavens and earth. He created the sun, the stars, the moon, all of these things. What do you see? Where do you see an explosion? A dog went by. See that dog? That dog has dogs. Cat goes by. Cat has cats. Tomatoes, they give you tomato plants, not chili. And so, you know, I mean, you can make a whole long list, and I wish tomato plants gave chili. I like chili. And of course, you can understand that a little bit, you know. I'm going to New Mexico, and I'm planning on ODing on chili when I get there. And that's the absolute truth of the scientific creator that we have. How can anybody miss that? It just blows your mind. Now, here's where we get into missions. The next part, thy kingdom come. Now, in Revelation 20, verse 6, the chosen people, you need to study and pay attention to what the Jews are living these days. He promised them that land. They've not had it. They have not been in their land for years and years and years. Finally, now, in our lifetime, we are seeing the Jews return to Israel. I mentioned that already. We are seeing the Jews in control of Jerusalem, the capital, that they haven't had control of for over 2,000 years. We can see now through DNA, by the way, that they can determine which Jew belongs to which tribe. That's all necessary for thy kingdom to come. We can also, they can now probably calculate who can be the high priest. That's important because during the 7-year period, a temple must be built and they're going to start their sacrifices again. They can't do it without the high priest. There are some things missing, but we are a chosen and privileged generation in a sense. We are seeing things that people before us had no notion of. All of these things we've been able to understand now in the last 20 or 30 years. This ought to blow your mind and think the kingdom is pretty close to come. All this whining and crying about this virus and the crime and everything else, we need to be thinking, praise the Lord, that's written. It's supposed to happen. So why are you can't pray that God take away all of these trials and problems, one or the other. I think it's better that we think, wow, the Lord may be coming pretty soon. Therefore, it's important that we understand these things, okay? Fear. You know that the book of Revelation uses the words fear or fear not, rather, and its synonym exactly 365 times. One time for every day of the year. There's a lot of verses. Fear not. We can't be fearful. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know not, as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Remember, the first message I preached in this church is a message I will preach in any church for the first time about the kingdom. We are to be looking forward and praying for the kingdom. Incidentally, this model prayer, if you will, reminds us to think about these things as we pray, every time we pray. I understand that there are fast prayers for different things, but when we sit down to pray, we need to think about these things point by point by point. And remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, I'm going to read it to you. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was his last message to those men. Incidentally, those men, 1 Corinthians 12:28, the first part said, first he put in the church apostles. They were the men that formed the first church in the Gospels, incidentally. And so it was instruction not to them, they died. It was instruction to you, a local New Testament biblical church. Thy will be done. The main reason that a person is saved and you stay on this earth is simply to do his will. What's the most important part to him? What was his last act, in fact, before he died? He presented the gospel. I think in another occasion I may have mentioned to you that the word gospel appears in our Bible 104 times. It's important to him, and it's important to the church. The apostles did that. The Great Commission, Matthew 18. Everybody has heard that a jillion times. That's his last command, basically. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Praise the Lord. Where is that lady? There you go. The Lord said so. You're being obedient. It would have spanked you if you had not done what you're supposed to. So praise the Lord for that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. If we do not do that, Jason, my son-in-law, by the way, proud of that boy. This teaching is what you need to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor's going to preach on Titus. I like that book. That's how we learn. That's how we put into practice the command to go and reach the world and reach them enough to baptize them to build churches. That's why you send out missionaries. Now we're in missions, praise the Lord. It's your job to send out missionaries. And incidentally, it's important to think, folks, and this is a challenge. There have been more than 20 missionaries that have left the field of Argentina in the last 10 or 15 years. Some because they retired, some that died, but I'm talking about that those that left the field. And they're not being replaced. There are four missionary families from our part of Argentina down south, clear to the tip of Argentina. There's only four missionary families. We need help. This church needs to pray that God will call out men, families, to go and preach the gospel. In Argentina, it'd be nice, but wherever they go. And I don't know that a church is really fulfilling the Great Commission unless they are sending out missionaries. Yes, thank you for sending missionaries that come from other churches, but it's specifically the responsibility of every church. Please be praying that God would call out a family, a man, to go and preach the gospel. That's important. That's what the Lord wants. Thy will be done. the gospel. This is another pet peeve of mine. I talk to people all the time. I've talked to preachers a lot in Argentina. There's probably 20 or 25 churches in Picún Lefú, that little church in the country, and it's a little town of about maybe stretching at 7,000 people. 25 churches. You believe that? I'm going to stomp all over a little bit of what sometimes we do as Christians without even thinking about it. Granted that some people truly get saved by saying, I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But that's true only if they understood the Great Commission, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Someone may get saved by an invitation to, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? Because they already have it in their heart and mind, and we don't know that. The Lord does, and He has His time. But to preach the gospel must be presented that they clearly understand Jesus is God. In fact, we're going to go through that in just a little bit. I'll just jump into that right away. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. But we need, that's part of the prayer, incidentally. That's part of the instruction of what we are seeing right now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, he's instructing a local New Testament church, people that are saved. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved if you keep, what? All right. If you keep in mind. Now let's see, I lost my place here. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now you can't give somebody something you don't possess. Paul said, I gave you what I received. What? He's going to tell us. Like I said, we use different things. Someone might say, I received Jesus into my heart. Is that the truth? Does that save somebody? You're looking at me now. You're afraid. I'm going to trap you. Yeah, I do that all the time. That's the result of understanding the gospel. You understand? It's not what saves you. It's the result of what saves you. The gospel. That's what we're reading here. And then he says, somewhere I missed a part. Jump back to verse 2. It says, by the which you are also saved if you keep. Okay? That's the key, if you really have it. You know, here's another thing that's amazing. And I'm talking about myself. Almost every person in the United States and maybe a good part of the world has seen and heard the gospel at least once a year. What's Easter all about? The death. Not ye have believed in vain. If you know, you can ask anybody almost in the street here, why did Jesus die on the cross? For our sins. What else happened? He died and he was buried and he resurrected the third day. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Knowing that, does that save you? No. This man actually possessed it. And we're going to look at that. Jump to Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. I'm a picture of the first guy for a long time. We had a lot of difficulties when we were married. This big boy sitting there next to his mother was born with a tumor. We had a lot of problems. Surgeries, doctors, long time. And through those trying times, I would pray, Lord, God, help me. Take care of this. Help us. Does that sound like it makes sense? No, because I wasn't saved. I was like this guy, selfish, self-centered in my prayer. I need you to help me. This is what this guy did. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and save us. That's just like we all are. God didn't pay, the Lord Jesus didn't pay any attention to him. And then in verse 40, but the other answered, rebuking him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art under the same condemnation? Everyone has heard this story. You just make it clearer to them. It takes 5 minutes or less. Now, he recognized first, and this is a good one for the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and others. He said, dost not thou fear God? He clearly recognized Jesus was God because he said, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. That's key. Must know that Jesus is God, the one true God. And that's what he did. Now, he did not ask to escape that painful death, the fear of hell, of hell and of leaving his family. And then he says in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Again, he recognized Jesus as God. Who's perfect? God. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus is God. He's perfect. Two times. And then he said unto Jesus, now this is important. I hope your Bible says this. It says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. The Lord is master. He's the Savior. He's sovereign. He is the boss, if you will. And without mentioning that title, Lord, and surrendering to his lordship, that's what this guy did. He recognized he deserved what he was getting. He recognized, incidentally, there's some pretty nice people here. And there's some folks maybe that didn't get messed up in life. I used to train racehorses. That should tell you everything of the lifestyle of those things. I cannot say, well, I'm not so bad. You know, maybe the Lord, there's enough good in me to outweigh the bad and he'll let me in. But the kindest person you know is guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. He died for that little bitty sin. And there is nothing worse. Hitler and I are on the same sinful level in God's eye. People need to understand that. And what happened to this man? The Lord said, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't join the church. He didn't get baptized. He didn't do one single good deed to deserve it. He just believed that Jesus was dying for him. And obviously it doesn't say that he was buried, but obviously you can't resurrect from the dead unless you've been somewhere to resurrect from. Everybody knows there's a garden tomb. You understand? It's all right there. And that's the only... That story everybody knows. They just need it transferred from there to there. And that's our job. That's what this prayer is instructing us to do. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the shortest verse in those passages. And if I preached that before, some of you are just like I am. We were taught to pray for God to give us our food every day. That's because we're always thinking about something to eat. It's 12:30 and I'm going to mess this all up because some of you guys are getting hungry. This is not talking about food. What's it talking about? Well, you have to jump to another verse. But in Luke, it would say, let me see if I can find it. 1st of all, now that you're there in Matthew, go to verse 31 through 34, Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. We have been taught to pray for our food, basically. It says there, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's his job to take care of us. All the homeless out there, bless their heart, people go through hard times. It's not our job to take care of them. We should if they're poor. But see, the Bible also says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. It's a tough decision. You know what I'm saying? But Christians are a kind people. We have a tendency to help, even though sometimes we're not really helping somebody. Give them a job. In fact, I learned that a long time ago in Argentina because it happens a lot. People that come and knock at the door, and I thought, well, how do I know this guy really has a need? There was a pile of gravel, and we were building the wall around the church property. And I moved it one day. It took me about 3 hours with a shovel and a carretilla, wheelbarrow. And a couple of days later, somebody came and asked for help, that they needed food for money. I said, oh, no problem. I'll be happy to help you. That pile of gravel there, I need it moved over here. It'll take you about 3 hours. I'll prepare the wheelbarrow and the shovel for you. Come back in about 15 minutes, and I'll give you one day's labor for that. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'll be one time. That's awful. So how do you test people? Well, a shovel and a wheelbarrow works, a bucket and a rag to wash your car. But I can't take care of you right now. Come back in 15 minutes. I'll get you a bucket and water and some rags, and you can wash the car. It's amazing what people, you know, they're smart out there. I don't know that we help them. Anyway, I got kind of off the track there. Luke 11:13. What is this daily bread that we need? And this is the key. This is where we miss it all. Luke 11:13. You have to read the verses before, but it's the same Lord's Prayer in different words, but it's the exact same thing. Then the Lord says, if ye then, being evil, now know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That daily bread that we are to pray for, working in life, and that only works through somebody that's saved. And Jason's message, it only works through a Christian that's consecrated, that's trying. We all want to make mistakes. That's just the way that is. And then, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. In Luke 11:4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Well, that's hard for us. People make us mad. And people are not very kind. And they're unfair. And we have some problems that way. But the first thing, I like King David's prayer. I'll just read it to you in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You ever wondered why the confession part is not at the beginning of the prayer? One would think that, well, we need to confess our sins so that the Lord will help us. But it's at the end. And even that power for the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to invoke, it's not at the beginning. We're not praying immediately to the Holy Spirit to help us do what God wants us to do. It's at the end. And that didn't make any sense to me for a long time. And why is that? Well, first of all, we have to know what God wants. Then we need the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to fulfill what He has commanded us to do in whatever situation we're in. And then the key thing, before we can have the Holy Spirit, we have to examine ourselves. And this is what King David did. And I'll read it again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we get to that point, then everything begins to fall into place. And then, of course, we're supposed to even love our enemies. Back in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's important. Boy, it's awful hard to do. It really is. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God promised to protect us if we are faithful to obey His Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then the final part of the prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There's no other way that'll work in our prayers if it's not point by point by point. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, but only through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, let's read this prayer again. It's okay to pray this prayer as long as we're thinking exactly what God wants us to do in the prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What an amazing prayer. But what an amazing lesson. We cannot fulfill God's plan in our life. Remember that thy kingdom come is important to the local church. He came to save souls. But he also has one really important purpose. The church. The biblical church, the bride. Every born-again believer has the opportunity for that part that he has promised, because he came to buy the bride. And only when we do things his way can we have success. Stand, if you will.